right, good morning. Let me update you on injuries again. Camus, with his right hamstring, he'll actually he'll be out, be ruled out of this football game. Benny Logan, left groin, he's actually doing better, but will be ruled out of this football game. Taylor Hart has a right ankle. I sustained it, it happened in practice yesterday. He won't practice today, but he'll be available for the game. And then everybody else is good. Just want to update you too on Ron Brooks. He had surgery to repair his right quad tendon. Dr. Pete DeLuca, team physician, did the surgery and spoke to him this morning. Ron, and he's in great spirits and doing well.
How did Bo play in Benny's place last week?
Bo played good. You know, he's a guy that gives you great effort every time he's in there. Obviously, the fumble recovery was big for us there. But, Bo's consistent. He's solid. Just fortunate to have him be one of our tackles.
You mentioned that Taylor will be ready, healthy enough to play in the game. Is he able to just jump back in after not being here for many weeks and be able to get
you know, he's been playing, or he's been on a roster and practicing and all that. So it's just a matter of just you know, getting familiar again with the terminology. But he'll be able to give us some good work.
I guess the team that runs the ball more than any team in the NFL, how big of a loss has Benny?
It's huge. You know, it's big. Anytime you lose a great player like Benny for a couple of weeks. I've always been under the sort of, you know, the next man up mentality, and that's where we're at. And, did a nice job filling in last week, and with three tackles last week, and now the addition of Taylor gives us a little more depth at that. But, yeah, anytime you lose a player like Benny in the middle, it can definitely hurt you a little bit.
Talk about the boost you've gotten from your special teams this year.
Well, I can't say enough about the special teams and what Coach Phipp has done there. And, always make it a point of emphasis that's your three phases to any football team. And special teams definitely gets a third of the action. The two touchdowns the last couple of weeks and exchanging field position, possibly on a punt and covering kicks. I mean, it's big. It's big in any football game. And they've done an outstanding job. We just gotta keep building on it and find ways to score on special teams.
In the pre-draft process, what stood out most about Ezekiel?
I just think his explosiveness. You know, I mean, you put the tape on it, and it seems like every run was an explosive run. And the thing is, too, once you meet the kid, and we had him here this spring. He's a sharp kid. He understands. He's a runner. He is a true running back, and he can catch the ball. He can obviously run the ball and a dynamic difference maker player is what we saw in the spring.
Doug, you had talked a couple days ago about some reasons why Zach hasn't caught a lot of passes lately. Looking at numbers last year when Sam and Zach were playing together, first half of the season, Zach didn't catch near as many balls as he did the longer he played with Sam. I mean, does chemistry sometimes, a lot of times, factor into things when a situation like that?
I think that's a great way of seeing it, great way of putting it. You know, chemistry does have a lot to play, a lot to do with a guy getting whether it be targets and or just catches. You know, it's a matter of the quarterback and the receivers all being on the same page, and these are the things that we're offensively working with and through with Carson, and just understanding the personnel that's on the field, the play design, the play call, you know, and just knowing where everybody's at on the football field, and that's why every snap and every rep is so valuable for Carson. But I know this down the stretch, you get in the last half of the season, last quarter of the season, you know, tight ends begin to sort of be the quarterback's friend, you know, the later you go, and especially weather games, that cold weather area, and they become a quarterback's friend.
Coaches have different philosophies when it comes to officiating crews and whether to, study them heading in and, let the players know about
what crew they're going to have that week. What approach do you take?
Well, obviously, we know the crew, you know, that we get assigned each week, and then we just want to break them down and see where they're at, you know, with penalties, what type of penalties, so that we can be aware going into any football game, what they are most likely to call or what they're looking for. But you know what, I don't put a lot of emphasis in that. I mean, these guys do a great job every week for us. We have to do our jobs. We have to move our feet. We can't hold. We know that. But at the same time, if we have a little bit of an understanding of the crew, it does give us a little more information heading into a football game.
Related to the players during the week.
It is related to the players. Related to the coordinators, and then the coordinators can take it from there.
Doug, when evaluating college quarterback prospects, you know, there was a period there, obviously, where you had some guys that were the mobile mode. Do you find that teams are going a little bit back more to pocket guys, and then the fact that, like, you have a Carson or a Dak who can also run also is just kind of an added benefit, or do you think they're looking more for still, and there's still the athletic part, it's still an important part of scouting quarterback?
I think it's a little of both. I think it also determines the type of system that you're running offensively. In our case, you know, we would prefer a more mobile quarterback with some of the things that we're doing with the RPOs and the way that the league is kind of going that route. But if that's not part of your system, maybe you look differently at quarterbacks. You know, I think the trend is more towards the athletic, skilled guy that can run. It's tough now that defenses are worried about running backs and receivers. Now they got to worry about a quarterback. I think it just puts an added pressure on defenses when you have a mobile quarterback that one is a good pocket passer, but is also a good runner and a good passer outside of the pocket. So I think it puts an added pressure on defenses.
Do you know how the carries are going to split, or is that up to Deuce as the team progresses?
Well, we don't know, you know, who necessarily. We know early in the game who we want to get the ball, you know, or who's going to play at the running back spot and who might potentially get some touches early in the game. But as the game unfolds, it gets a little more decided by play call, who we want in the football game. And then sometimes, too, we got to be careful, utilizing some of our specific runners. Example, Darren Sproles in certain situations, because that could be a big indicator, you know, run or pass, depending on how that game is unfolding at that time.
Have you found that to be the case? I mean, there are times when Smallwood's in the game, he's getting prepared as opposed to being a passing play or a passing play to him.
Yeah, you know, that's something where we watch actually during the game, and I want to make sure that we're on, you know, number one, we're on top of that, who's getting the majority of the work, or if I'm coming back to a certain play call later in the game that we're going to repeat, who either ran the ball or who was in, you know, in that play before, you know, so you're trying to always set up plays. And I think the running back position can be a tip for defenses as to run or pass.
Getting back on that, one of the things that you said over and over about why you liked Waddell coming out of college is receiving ability. But he hasn't really been utilized in that way so far this season. Is that done purposely or just for whatever?
It's just the way it's been going. You know, I mean, you know, Ryan and Darren have been getting the majority of the work there. And again, when Wendell's been in the game, it's usually, take out the Pittsburgh game, it's usually more of a run situation usually with him. So it's more predicated on game situation than anything else.
Is that a matter of just kind of adding to his plate little by little as he comes along?
Yeah, he gets a little more comfortable and with the offense, then obviously he's another one that we can expand that role and use him more in passing situations, because I do think he's very capable of being a receiver out of the backfield for us, a lot like Darren.
Both of the quarterbacks in this game, if they could tuck and run and pick up a third, first down on the third and long, defensive coordinators sometimes tend to be less likely to call man defense because the man defenders turn their back to the quarterback. Can you touch on some of the advantages that you have as far as having a quarterback like that, as well as going against one in the press box?
Yeah, well, that's a great example of, you know, teams that want to play man coverage and you know, the quarterback has the ability to scramble, you know, in those situations. That's where you rely a lot on your front four to get pressure on the quarterback to try to keep him in the pocket. And it's also, you know, it's part of the game. I mean, they, you know, we're aware of obviously mobile quarterbacks and guys that can run and make, you know, extend plays with their legs. But you know, you execute the defense that's called at the time, and you just hope that you can get home and get a sack on him, or you know, it's a rhythm throw where the ball's coming out and we can defend it in the back end. But you have to be aware of guys like Dak and Carson and guys that can run that, you know, they can definitely use their legs to extend plays, and it's a big part of, I think, their success a little bit in Dallas, and obviously our success, Carson, the ability to scramble and find you know, Darren out of the backfield when teams are, you know, primarily in man coverage.
How's it been going with adjusting, making the adjustments with Wentz's mechanics? You had mentioned that they had gone off a little bit.
Yeah, it's been going good this week. You know, he really focused in, took the coaching well. He worked on it Wednesday, Thursday, another day today. When he kind of calms his feet and he's right, he's on, you know, he's in rhythm and timing and accuracy and all that sort of picks up. But he's had a good week throwing the ball.
Let's take two more guys. You talked before about how we're challenged on the line when they go on the road is having to go up the south snap down. I was curious, are there any other challenges off the line in particular face on the road that they don't recall, or is it just that?
Just mainly the snap count and timing it up, and especially those tackles, because a lot of times they're peeking in at the football, and it's, you can kind of lose sight of that defensive end or a tackle, and you know, when you know, defenses move and you know, slant and game like the Cowboys do, it can be challenging, but you know, at the same time it's part of the game. It's something we have to handle, and we just keep working every day. It doesn't bother me, you know. I mean, I don't make the schedule, but you know, hey, listen, I'd rather have continued to play 3-0 and not have a bye either. So it kind of works the other way for us. But you know, it is what it is at this point, and you know, we just got to handle them one game at a time. And you know, for us, it's about, you know, just maintaining the momentum and just keep building off of last week and keep playing and fighting and you know. It's challenging, you know, because again, three of these teams are coming off their break, but we don't put a lot of emphasis in that.
Thanks, Doug.